Hello, hello. We welcome you today to Love is Spoken Queer, Gospel Topics, LGBTQ plus voices. I'm Dustin Larson.
And I'm Renee Hernandez.
And Renee, my voice has returned in all its glory, if it was ever glorious before. But I feel like Ariel at the end when she gets her voice and her man, minus the man. But I'm my own man. I can love myself. Anyways, we are now in a new month. The month of June, otherwise known as World Pride Month, where all the Pride celebrations start happening. And this year, it seems like it's going to be half and half. There's going to be virtual, where there's still a little bit of hesitancy. And then there's going to be like mini gatherings in places where there's vaccination highs and infections low. So we're getting into one of my favorite months of the year, which is June, Pride Month. I like to get into my kind of history buff. I have a stack of books that I was started last year, but I didn't really finish them. So I'm going to start them again this year and hopefully get through all of them through this month, plus some extra ones that have come on my radar. But before we get into me, Renee, how are you doing? You're in a cabin in the woods, aren't you?
I am currently in a cottage in the woods.
Oh, yes, cottage. Sorry. She fancy.
It's actually not in the, but it's not in the woods. And it's at the beach. I'm at Cape Cod right now with some friends, enjoying the good life of rain and overcast and super omega wind. So our weather is not that fantastic, but it is okay. I'm excited because I am getting ready to go with my family to El Salvador. And so for those listening, you actually won't hear me for a couple of podcasts because I will be out of the country, and calling Dustin is not easy. To do some recordings, and I'm super excited for that. Life has been going really, really well for all those that have been kind of like staying tuned. Things are going well. I've decided to start getting into the dating world. So if anyone's interested, I will update on my updates later on that front. But Dustin, I am glad your voice is back. I think your voice is great. So I'm glad it's back in full force. So someone does care. Just wanted to let you know.
I've become pretty fond of my voice, and you don't miss it until it's gone or when you have to like crack out some.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. And since I know you're going to be talking about June when it's your turn to talk, I'm actually going to be in New York for parts of June. So I'm super excited. This is going to be the first Pride month that I get to spend in New York City. Prior to this, I've always been somewhere else in the month of June. Not intentional, just how things always play out. But I'll be there for like 5 or 6 days. So I'm super, super excited for that. But Dustin, I think it's your turn. How's life?
It's good. It's good. I'm finally beginning to be more motivated and getting kind of my groove back. But it just so happens that the moment I start to get motivated and I'm like, you know what? This is Memorial Day weekend that we're recording this on. I'm going to go rearrange some stuff in my closet. I'm going to like really organize. I'm going to get everything done. I'm going to go outside and enjoy the sun and all that stuff. Lo and behold, we have a rainy and cold. I'm going to emphasize cold Memorial Day weekend, because for some reason, fall was like, nope, I'm here. and spring too. It's like a mixture between spring and fall. It just got freezing. I woke up Friday or Saturday. I think it was Saturday. And I thought I had fallen asleep with the air conditioner on because it was pretty muggy and hot. And then I turned it off because I only need it for spurts at a time. Like, because your energy bill just skyrockets because I'm in an old building. So it like sucks out all of the energy and my bill goes way up. So I just put it on for kind of like 15 to 20 minutes at a time. Cause I also live in a small space, so it doesn't take much to cool it down. So I start off going to sleep with it on, and then my body is like, ooh, chilly. So then I go and I turn it off. But then when I woke up, I was still chilly. And I'm like, did I forget to turn it on? And then I look outside. It's like torrential downpour rain. The wind is blowing. I'm like, happy Memorial Day weekend to me. So my motivation just went out the window. And so I was just in bed all weekend binging America's Next Top Model, because I haven't ever watched it from beginning to end. And I'm on the 8th cycle. They don't call them seasons. They call them cycles. And I'm surprised at how many winners I remember. There's been a couple where I'm just like, wait a second, who's going to win? But by the third episode, I remember who wins. But it's been fun to go back and watch. It's been very enlightening to go back and watch, because there's a few episodes that don't hold up in this day and age when it comes to kind of appropriation and body shaming and just like all these things. And so hopefully we've learned a lot since then. But anyways, again, my motivation has gone out the window. It is a lazy Sunday that we are recording on right now. And I was just like, maybe I can prep for the week, like some stuff for the podcast, keeping it Jesus-minded. But then I'm just like, no, I'm probably just going to watch Cruella because that just came out this weekend. And I'm still a little bit anxious to go out into the movie theaters quite yet. And I've gotten used to just watching things by myself. Well, I watched them by myself anyways to begin with, but I don't want to be around people because I'm still kind of anxious. So I'm just going to pay the $30 on Disney Plus because that's probably how much I was going to spend by going to the movies and getting like a soda and a popcorn. So that's what I'll be doing tonight. I won't do any spoilers for people out there, but I've seen two things that people post online so far about the movie. It's long and it's good. So I'm prepping myself for both. So I'm going to watch it. Maybe it will inspire me to enter 101 Dalmatians into the queue for Fairy Gospel, because I think that'll be a fun one because it's one of those ones that aren't based off of a fairy tale. It is based off of a book or like a story. So we'll see. But anyways, that's me. And again, I'm happy for Pride Month. I'm really excited for it because it really, everyone gets motivated. And I wish that this feeling could last throughout the whole year, but I'm still glad that there is a month that everyone's focus draws to it. And then you can get more and more people on board with our history because it's really rich history. And as we've learned from the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants, it also kind of overlaps with church history as well, or we can be relatable towards church history and queer history. And so, Renee, you know what else I'm excited for besides Pride Month?
I'm going to throw a Haikululuya into the running.
Yes, a Haikululuya. And this time I remembered I went first last week. So now it is your turn to go first this week. Before you do, I'm going to introduce the topic real fast. So we are going to be looking at Doctrine and Covenants, chapters 60 through 62, through the queer perspective of talent. So, Renee, whenever you're ready.
All right, deep breath. Talents. Talents are given, then developed and strengthened. So make them your own.
Yay! Yes, yes, I love that because talents are unique to us and we shouldn't feel discouraged when we realize that the talents we have aren't the same as others because we never know how much strength our talents will have until we fully embrace them. So I love that Haikululuya.
Thank you, thank you. I try. All right, what's yours?
So here's mine. Talent is not to be wasted or hid out of fear. Shine bright and shine out.
Shine bright like I'm thinking of a song. I was trying to do what you do and I couldn't.
It's shine bright. It's shine bright like a diamond. And you were going to sing that. You were going to sing that. And then I was going to follow it up by saying diamonds actually don't shine. They reflect. What did they do? They reflect. They reflect and refract light. So they themselves don't produce a shine. They reflect a shine. So that verse is actually inaccurate.
Okay, well, it's the first time you had me singing on the show, and now you basically put me to shame. So never again will I sing.
No. And as you saw, I got tongue-tied. So that was just Jesus saying, you better take a seat, Dustin, and not criticize other people for the sake of criticizing, yeah. Because I will
tie your tongue. Wheel and you sit on the side.
But anyways, Renee, you know this question's coming, so I hope you prepared for it. When you first hear the word talent as a queer person of faith, what first comes to mind?
Okay, when I thought of talents as a queer person, the thing that came to mind was acknowledgement, which I know is not the word of the day, but it's like when I think of talent, the associative word I think is acknowledgement. Acknowledge that you have talents, and those talents don't just disappear when I feel like sometimes when we come out as queer or gay or, you know, wherever you fall on the spectrum, you feel like you've become this completely different person, but you do have a lot of attributes and talents that come like that are part of who you are. And so one thing I've learned in my queer experience is beyond acknowledging my own queerness is also acknowledging the talents that I've been given. I think for the longest time, I always thought talents were like the creative kind, the kind that like the talent for music, the talent for art, the, you know, being able to sing, play an instrument. I thought that's what talents meant. It's always something expressive. And I'm like, oh, I have no talents like whatsoever. But then as I got older, I learned that talents are gifts, things that are innate to you that you are able to almost express and share. So I always say like, I have a talent for curiosity. I'm one of those people who is very curious about things, But instead of just being curious, I choose to explore it and ask questions, ask others who are in that, like doing stuff that I'm curious about. And a lot of times I end up doing it. And so that for me is a talent, because that has allowed me to experience life and enjoy in sharing stories with others that otherwise wouldn't happen if I wasn't a curious person who also is pretty much like curious with action, right? So I don't know. Those are my thoughts in regards, especially as queer individuals. I feel like that's what I mean, is acknowledging our talents and our queerness in the same breath. What about you, Dustin? What does it mean to you?
I'm going to add on to what you just said, because I also thought about acknowledging it, but also adding encouraging it, because I know that there's a lot of talents that queer individuals showcase when they're younger, where if they were only encouraged, they could be such amazing individuals right now. Because I know when I was growing up, there were some talents that I started showing where I was both encouraged and discouraged, but not necessarily openly discouraged. It was kind of like a passive discourage, almost like, because some of my talents were kind of acting and singing and dancing and just performing. And when it got a little too flamboyant, I was sort of kind of, I wasn't told to tone it down, but kind of how people treated me kind of encouraged me to tone it down. But my parents and my family and my siblings, they all were really encouraging towards me expressing some of my talents. And a lot of them also joined in on my talents as well. My little brothers still contribute their dance moves to me. They said that I was the one that taught them that. Sometimes they're not the most appropriate dance moves, but it is what it is. But yeah, so I really feel like you said, there's so many talents that we need to acknowledge and encourage. And like you said, they don't always have to be of the physical aspect or the creative aspect. A people person is a talent. Like, I know me as an anxiety-ridden like introvert, being around people and being sociable with people is one of my worst nightmares some of the times. Like, I've learned to kind of embrace it as I've gotten older, but I've always admired just how people could just go in and become best friends with people that they've just met, or they're able to hold on a conversation with people that they've just met. And I've also found that like de-escalating disputes is a really great talent too, like making being the peacemaker or being the mediator between things, or being able to be like a compassionate person, a selfless compassionate person, I think is also a talent as well. So I think that there are a multitude of talents that can be considered talents that aren't of the kind of the mainstream kind. And I really feel like what these scriptures that we're about to talk about displayed was that God wants us to use our talents, but he wants us to use them wisely and efficiently, because these scriptures, these scriptures were a little hard to follow, because for the most part, what happens is there's like a question or there's an event that happens, and Joseph Smith wants some enlightenment on these. So he goes to the Lord and then he gives his answer. And usually you can kind of get the events that led up to the revelations. But in this one, it was like we almost entered a conversation mid-conversation and we like missed the first half. So I had to go back and I had to read a couple, because they were talking about missionary work and they were talking about good missionaries and the bad missionaries and how he was angry with them, but then his anger was kindled and then they were on the water and then the water's danger. There's all these things that are happening. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to go back and read these. And after I read them a second time, I think my confusion was lifted and I was able to kind of see kind of the spiritual aspects that happened in these different scriptures. And so we're going to touch upon a little bit of like, I want to talk a little bit about the water part, because at first I was like, this is completely out of left field. And then I realized, oh, this is why he's talking to them. And then the third time of reading those chapter or those verses, I was like, okay, now I can understand how I can relate to this. But anyway, so the first one that jumps out at me is in Doctrine and Covenants 60, and it's verse 13. It says, "Behold, they have been sent to preach my gospel among the congregations of the wicked. Wherefore I give unto them a commandment, thus, thou shalt not idle away thy time, neither shalt thou bury thy talent that it may not be known." And I said, God has a very specific plan for me as a queer person of faith and has given me unique talents to accomplish it. There may be times when my confidence is lacking and the urge to hide them is strong, but he has promised that if I keep his commandment to not bury thy talent, he will give me strength to shine through. And as I was reading this, I realized that there are a lot of things that kind of make queer people of faith discouraged from sharing their talents, and especially sharing their authentic talents as well. And some of the thoughts that came to mind were kind of the shame that comes from being a queer person in a religious institution. And it's an unfounded shame as well, because if we really took the scriptures as they're written and as they're meant to be taken, we should never shame anyone for being who they are, especially if they're expressing who they are authentically. And I kind of related to some of these missionaries that the Lord was speaking to. I don't know to what extent they kind of abandoned their mission, but I could see why they could be fearful of sharing their true self among people that they already know are going to reject them. And so I think as queer people of faith, that sometimes is why we're hesitant to share our talents, is because we're already going in with two strikes against us that we feel like. And the one little thing that we do wrong, the one little time we become tongue-tied or we say the wrong thing or we interpret something differently, we feel like that's the third strike and we're done. Like, we feel like we have such a high bar compared to everyone else. And I feel that God is telling his servants that we shouldn't be fearful of men. We shouldn't fear men more than we fear not serving God. And if we can kind of switch our perspectives and realize that God has given me these talents and I'm not meant to just sit idly with them, I'm supposed to use them wisely, he will swoop in and he will loosen our tongues like he did Moses. And he will give us our thoughts and he'll give us the power to influence people through our words, as long as we take the first steps of showing bravery of living our true and authentic self.
I like that a whole lot, actually. And you made me think of verse 2 in the same chapter, Doctrine and Covenants 60, where it says, "But with some I'm not well pleased, for they will not open their mouths, but they hide the talents which I've given unto them because of the fear of men. Woe unto such, for mine anger is kindled against them." Which I feel like, I know there's like, that one's the first thing you read. And then later on 13, you read about more about the, "Thou shalt not idle away thy time, neither shalt thou bury thy talents, that it may not be known." But what you just said is like perfectly highlighted. Sometimes as queer individuals in the church, it makes it hard for us to be able to express certain talents. You know what I mean? And it's like for fear of one thing or another, because our, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is like, I feel like sometimes our talents are tied in with some things you mentioned, like femininity or things that aren't always accepted and don't make us feel as welcomed, I guess. So I kind of like that, because the idea is that, at least the idea that I've gathered, and I could totally be wrong, so please correct me, in regards to talents in these verses, the main thing that Lord is saying is like, he's given us all talents, pieces that are a part of who we are. And it really is up to us to be able to share it and be able to express it, but also create an environment where people can develop them and continue to strengthen them. That was part of actually where my haiku hallelujah came from as I was reading these verses. It was this idea of cultivating an environment where those things could happen, the developing and the strengthening of our talents, so that we don't make Heavenly Father mad at us and that we do turn to him to rely and help us grow in our talents and to be able to be better, not just for our queer communities, but as queer members in the church as well. At least those are my thoughts.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Some things that came to mind while you're saying that too is another reason why we should have our faith in God of expressing our talents is he won't hold us accountable for the actions of other people. Like you said, we need to make a place for people to kind of develop their talents and express their talents. And if that doesn't happen for us, but we still make the effort, he'll provide another way for us to do that. And he'll hold those people that held us down accountable. So I think if that's one of the fears of queer people of faith and sharing their talents, we need to, again, change our perspective and realize God has given us these talents. And he gave us these talents with the purpose of growing them and expressing them and sharing them with other people. He's investing in us. That's basically what he's doing, is think of him as like one of the sharks on Shark Tank. Like, he's investing in us and he's hoping to gain a reward from that. And his reward is us returning to live with him. And our reward is the same thing. We get to live up there with paradise with him. And of course, it's going to be disappointing if he gives us the talents and we sit on them and we don't do anything with them and they become stagnant. And he's going to be frustrated saying, "I've invested in you. I've taken a chance on you. I've provided you the means to make these things grow and you just did nothing with them." That's like a slap in the face to him. That's almost like you gifting someone something and they just put it in their re-gift cupboard, never to be seen again. Like, that's insulting. And I can see why God would get frustrated with us. And we also know that he's a merciful God and he's a forgiving God, that he's the kind of parent where he'll scold us And then he'll be as forgiving as possible if we come to him for forgiveness. So I think it's kind of interesting to see these prophets, Joseph Smith and all these followers around him, where they've gotten multiple talkings to throughout these Doctrine and Covenants. And like I said, I was always raised to see Joseph Smith as this perfect person. Like, I never really saw the human side of him, kind of like with Christ. You always see Christ as this perfect being, and he is, but he also had very human-like characteristics. So it's nice to see Joseph Smith having these human characteristics as well, because it makes him more relatable. And you're like, oh, if Joseph Smith can make a mistake, like canoeing down one of the most dangerous rivers and almost putting his life at risk, and God scolding him and him learning from it, then I can do the same thing. Like, if I slip up here and there. And I love, and this is now reminding me on the new temple questions, the temple recommend questions, why this come to mind is because my parents renewed theirs while I was back home, just in the off chance that the temples start to open in their area. But they related to me how the new questions that were released in general conference, I think it was like a year ago or 2 years ago, it's more about striving to live these certain questions and these certain attributes that God wants us to do. Do you strive to live the word of wisdom? Do you strive to keep the Sabbath day holy? Like, it's more about striving, because there's more ability to accomplish that than there is to do you do this? Yes or no? No? Okay. Come back again later. Like, I really love that that's the kind of relationship that Heavenly Father has with his children that we're seeing in the Doctrine and Covenants now, is he's giving us these talents. We're allowed to use them, experiment with them, mess up even, to learn, as long as we learn from it, because that's how we become more like God, is because God is all-knowing, and he doesn't expect us to be all-knowing. If he did, he'd give us all the answers to things right now, but he doesn't. And so he wants us to mess up. He wants us to learn from our mistakes. And the fear of making mistakes shouldn't keep us from making those mistakes, because that's how we're going to learn. And all these professional people with talents, like dancers or basketball players or professional athletes or painters or singers, or all these people, they weren't perfect when they first started. We just didn't see that part of their history. And so when we first meet new people as well, and we're afraid of showcasing our talents, we also need to realize that they haven't seen that brief period of time where we were developing those talents. They're just meeting us here and now. So we need to be able to kind of showcase what we have at that point in time and not be fearful of it.
Oh, and I think you point out to a very important point, that when we talk about talents, it isn't always the innate gifts you're given immediately. Like, you won't suddenly pick up a guitar and you know how to play it. It does really take time and effort and energy on our parts to really help them grow and become something more masterful and beautiful, right? In our lives and the lives of others. And I think that's part of what you were reflecting on like, not just Joseph Smith's humanity, but also like Doctrines and Covenants. That's one of the things that I've always liked about it, was that it's all the revelation given us. The church is being founded, established, the ups and downs, the humanity, the godly inspiration that makes our church the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And as we read more and more, we get to see more of that development of the church get to where it is now. And it doesn't have a perfect history, and we're learning about that now. But just like we tried and worked to develop our talents, I think a lot of the individuals in the scriptures are trying to do the same themselves. And it takes, like you said, mistakes and triumphs with those talents. I also have to say that, I don't know if you think the same, but do you feel like all of the talents we will have all are just prepackaged within us, and that's it? We can't develop new talents? Or do you feel like any of us can pick up any talent we want at any point in our lives?
I think it's a little of both. I think we do have some pre-given talents that we're always going to have the ability to use and to take advantage of. But I also think that there's potential for everything. The thought that comes to mind too is Soul. I'm not going to give away too much in the movie Soul, but they have all these different kind of abilities and talents where they don't know whether they're going to be good at it unless they try it. And when they kind of master it, quote unquote, master it, then they get that little badge or whatever. And so I think, like, we won't know we have a talent for something unless we try it. And I think because we're created in God's image and God basically has the skills of everything, we probably have a little bit of that in us, whether it becomes to a professional level or not. I think that we all have kind of the same opportunity to talents. We might not be the best at it, but I think we have the ability to at least have some portion of it. Like, I'm not going to be like a world-class chef, because one, I don't have the desire to, and two, I don't have the attention span to, but I do know how to cook somewhat. Like, I think everyone knows how to make something in order to survive. Like, you're not going to die because you don't know how to cook. We all have that innate ability in us. So I think it just depends on how much passion and motivation and support you get from those around you that really determines how far you're going to take that talent. But the thing is to take it somewhere, not to just sit on it once you realize you have it, which also kind of leads me to the, I'm going to only touch upon it a little bit because again, it was a little confusing, which also leads me to the part of the chapters discussing the being cautious of the waters. At first I was confused and I think the manual knew people were going to be confused because they said, don't get this confused with the waters are evil and you should never go into the water. God was saying that Joseph Smith, his talent was this amazing leader, this amazing founder of the church, prophet of God. He could motivate people. People would follow him. His talent was leadership. And God was saying, you have this amazing talent. You need to use it wisely and you need to use it cautiously because your talent for being a leader makes you want to lead people. And maybe in Joseph Smith's mind, the quickest way to get from point A to point B was to go down this river. And yes, that could be the quickest way to point A or point B, but as God explained in these chapters, the waters are so unpredictable, much more unpredictable than to just travel by land because you basically have control of your surroundings. The waters, you don't. And so God was saying, be cautious of how you use your talents. Almost don't be overzealous. I'm blanking on the king or the prophet in the Book of Mormon that was overzealous and was told to not be so overzealous because it actually backfired. That was God telling Joseph Smith, your talents are a leader, but be careful how you use them. Don't be overzealous because you could then in turn put you, the people you're with, and this whole church, this whole restoration in jeopardy by putting yourself in dangerous path when you could have taken the less dangerous path, which is right next to you. So I think that was God's word of warning saying, here are your talents. There's a time and a place for them. And there's also a caution that needs to go with them when you kind of get a little too overly confident and you start relying more on yourself than on the Lord. So that was just, I think that's where what I got from these chapters and or these verses, and you can correct me if you got something else. But I think that's where these came in was God was first saying, I gave you talents, don't be afraid to use them. And then when you get the confidence to use them, don't be overly confident that you forget my hand in all things, because I can only protect you up to a point because you have your agency. And if you choose the path that's more dangerous when there's a much easier path over here, whatever going to happen is going to happen because you chose that path. So I think that's him being cautious with our talents because they can be used for bad as well, as we see out there with a lot of kind of like performing artists or people that get a little too full of themselves and then stop relying on God to preserve those talents and start thinking that they're all that they need to rely on.
I definitely agree with you. I think our talents can be, just like anything else, can be used for good or evil. And I think it's the evil part. It's more just our pride, as our talents are sometimes beautiful and they do allow us to gain prominence and recognition. It's important for us to be able to stay humble and listen and to feel the spirit of the Lord. In 61, actually, and these are later verses, so you might have earlier verses. In verses 37 and 38 in Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord says, and inasmuch as you have humbled yourself before me, the blessings of the kingdom are yours. Gird up your loins and be watchful and be sober, looking forth for the coming of the Son of Man, for he cometh in an hour you think not. And so this was him talking about like not just the waters, but I think it's so applicable to also like you were literally what you were just saying about our talents and our ability to stay humble and stay watchful and sober. I love that word sober because it's like saying sometimes the pride of your talents can become toxic, intoxicating, and it messes with your mind and you don't put your eyes set on the Lord or waiting for the time of his arrival. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. Just humility is so important, a blessing and a talent as well in our lives. If we can learn how to help that one grow most.
Yeah, exactly. Like not only do we have to acknowledge our talents, we have to encourage our talents, but then we have to be humble about our talents as well. Because in any sort of movie we see, whether it's a Disney movie, whether it's a live action movie, whether it's any sort of movie, you always root for the underdog. But then there's a turning point where that underdog has to remain humble or they turn the way of being haughty. And most of the time when they turn the way of being haughty, they're humbled extremely fast, usually within the next like 30 or 40 minutes of the movie. But yeah, God is just reminding us, I've given you these, I can take them away. It's one of those things where, yes, we need to be very mindful of our talents and how we use those talents, because whether we know it or not, they influence a multitude of people, whether we realize it or not. And that could be for the good or the bad, depending on how we express our talents. And bringing it back to kind of like a more queer perspective, I think that we have some of the most amazing, talented individuals within our community. And it's not because we're queer, it's because we're so diverse. Again, our community is so diverse with all these different walks of life, all these nationalities, all these statuses, like everything. Like, we basically have one individual from every sort of human on earth, which makes us such a talented group of people. And we need to never lose our sight in that, because in order for us to be strengthened, we need to be united. And what makes us strong is our diversity. And what really made me think of that is in Doctrine and Covenants chapter 62, verse 4, and it says, "And now continue your journey. Assemble yourselves upon the land of Zion and hold a meeting and rejoice together and offer a sacrament unto the Most High." And I said, as a queer person of faith, I know that building Zion will take the talents of all of God's children and should reflect all of their experiences. The strength of a community is defined by its diversity. And I really believe that, because as we've seen from like current events or history, usually the downfall of society is when they become too homogenous, where they become too like-minded and too the same that they aren't able to differentiate certain things, and they start excluding those that aren't like them. And because they start excluding people that aren't like them, the people that are like them get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then basically they get overcome because of their own kind of arrogance. I think that's something that we really need to avoid, especially as queer people of faith and queer people within the church, is to realize, and I thank you every time I bring this up and you remind me, that we are a global church. Yes, we were founded in the Americas and we are an American founded church, but we're global. So we need to share our talents and we need to minister to everyone as if we are a global church. And that means how we talk about certain things, how we relate to other countries, how we talk about different ways of life, realizing that the church was founded on a very narrow perspective, but the goal was to grow, to cover the face of the earth. And that goal never changed. It's just became kind of diluted based on some of the current events. And I think what these scriptures are telling us is, yes, I gave you talents. You need to encourage them. You need to acknowledge them. You need to be humble. And then you need to share them with those around you. And that sometimes means not expecting anything in return. And that's what I really love about our church with all the humanitarian efforts, is that's one of the things that we're able to express. And we need to continue doing that. And we need to stand up and remind other people when they forget that, because that could be a talent as well, is to call out injustices and intolerance for those around us when they're being seen. And I think that that's the only way we can reach Zion. Is, yes, it's talking about one mind and one heart turned to God, but that doesn't mean we're one and the same person. We need to have the same desires with one another, but we also need to acknowledge everyone's differences, because if God wanted us to all be the same, he would have created us all the same. But that also reminds me that God created us in his image. So maybe God is like this conglomerate of all the humans on earth. And this could be just the gospel according to Dustin. The image that he presented himself to Joseph Smith is the image that he could comprehend as a human. So who knows what God is going to look like when we meet him again? He could be this being that encompasses everything and everybody that ever existed. It's just our human minds couldn't comprehend it. So he had to present himself in a form that wasn't overwhelming to Joseph Smith. And again, that's just the gospel according to Dustin. But I think if you think about it that way, it makes it a little bit easier to build up your tolerance for people different than you, because there's a little bit of God in me. There's a little bit of God in you. There's a little bit of God in them. And all those pieces together make the fuller image of God and allows us to love our neighbor as ourselves, like we're being commanded to do. And we are able to do that through our talents and showcasing our talents to those around us.
So I had a scripture in section 62 too, right? I was trying to like match it up a little bit to yours, because it's the first verse in section 62. And it just says, "Behold and hearken, O ye elders of my church, saith the Lord your God, even Jesus Christ, your advocate, who knoweth the weakness of men, how to succor them who are tempted." And in my mind, I just kind of thought of, sometimes we don't know how to navigate our world, especially as queer men. I've mentioned this before, right? Here in the United States of America, being queer has interesting because it's very politically driven, and really maybe the whole world's politically driven. I just don't know the other climates as well as I know ours. But one of the biggest things that I always wonder is, like, we don't always have a lot of information on how we're supposed to navigate things. And sometimes that makes it hard to navigate a lot of different things. And so reading the scripture about, like, just a reminder, basically, that Jesus Christ is our advocate and he knoweth the weakness of men, how to succor them. I think that is so vital to remember just as we're navigating our queer experiences and our talents. At least for me, it gives me confidence to know that, like, I can do better. And it like, through everything that's happening. And I'll start to link that kind of to yours, the stuff you were saying.
I can help you link it because something just came to mind when you said it. Is God is kind of like everyone's coach. And he knows all of our downfalls and he knows all of our faults and he knows how to get us out of that. Like you said, as a queer person, we might not know how to express ourselves in the most confidence. And God knows that because he went through it. And now I'm talking from this perspective of Christ. He went through it. He experienced everything. He felt all of our failures and he felt all of our wants and our needs and our desires and our hurts and our pain. So that way he could be a better advocate for us. So he being able to succor those because he knows their weaknesses, it's because he does know how to do that. So if we're not sure how to express our talents or we don't feel confident in expressing our talents, he can help us. We just need to turn to him as our guide. And we need to be able to open our minds and our hearts to allow him to help us and to humble ourselves to ask for the help. And I think that's how we can tie your scripture into what I was saying before is he does know how to coach us. He does know how to make us grow. He does know how to encourage us to utilize those talents. And he also allows us to remain humble because there's no way we could do this without his help. And the moment we start to forget that, the moment he starts to remind us of that. And sometimes that's through huge catastrophes, or sometimes that's just through feeling twinges of guilt. But at the same time, he doesn't allow us to sit through that longer than we need to. And it's only until we recognize our faults and forgiveness and try to do better and repent that he then is back on our side of being our advocate and our coach.
And can I say something that came to mind when you were speaking was too, it's like, we always have the Lord and Heavenly Father to help us and course direct and also to support. But something I wanted to make sure, like, I wasn't omitting is the fact that we as queer individuals have overcome adversity that have given us almost like a special talent to be able to, not just the deficits, right, of what we can do or the direction, right, but also the skill of strength that we have inside of us that allows us to be able to navigate this world that doesn't have a lot of instruction. I think that's so awesome. And I think the Lord and Heavenly Father are always there ready when we start feeling lost or like it gets really hard. But I think we as queer individuals navigate a very complex situation in the church and outside of it afterwards if we choose that the church isn't our place. And I think your story about the water was kind of reflective of that, almost like we are in a canoe in a water that can be kind of dangerous. And sometimes like we do need the Lord to help us, guide us and show us that if we have faith in him, he'll guide our course. You know what I mean? No matter how choppy or turbulent the water is. Yeah. And part of that is our talents and also embracing who we are. I think that's so vital. And we're all in so many different places. I was thinking about that this week, actually. I was just thinking about how it's not just our talents that are different, but the points we all are, how different we all are, you know, the environments we're growing up with. Like you and I are so like different, Ben and I, like, and we have so many different talents. And so I just love that. And I love the idea, like you said, that Heavenly Father's got our backs. Like no matter what, the Lord's there. The Holy Ghost will definitely be helping us figure it all out.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. And I think to kind of wrap up our conversation, I think the moral of our discussion today was acknowledge your talents, encourage your talents, and stay humble about your talents. And I think as long as we turn to God for guidance in those three things, we'll be able to share our talents in the ways that he expects us and wants us to. And I think right now would be a good place to take a short break. And welcome back from the break. You're listening to Love is Spoken Queer. And Renee and I have just finished discussing Doctrine and Covenants chapters 60 through 62 through the queer perspective of talent. And Renee, how about you wow me with your talent of describing what you feel your weekly calling is based on our discussion?
My weekly calling that I feel I've been called to is to actually kind of explore more of the talents that Heavenly Father has given me. Recently, I made the discovery about the concept of curiosity that I shared at the beginning of the podcast in regards to one of my talents. But I would love to learn how to embrace more of them and figure out not just that, but how I'm able to share them and make them a part of who I am so I can like help others, really. That's like, I know I'm a big nerd for school, so I know that's a talent of mine because a lot of people do not like going to school as much as I do. So let's see how that one can bless the lives of others.
It blesses our conversations because you bring a perspective that is unique to you because of your schooling that I would have never come across myself, because I do the dabbling here and there, but I'm not in schooling right now. And so you're in the active process of learning. So I'm really appreciative of those talents and your curiosity, because it betters my understanding of certain topics.
Well, thank you, Dustin.
My weekly calling is to acknowledge more of the talents I have. And I started off being kind of humbled by my talents because I was afraid of failure. So I never really let on what my talents were to other people until I perfected them, because I didn't want them to criticize me for not being good at this particular skill. Because growing up as a queer person of faith, or as a queer person, I was so attuned to people's thoughts and judgments and criticism that I did not want to give them any excuse to call me out or criticize me or to allude to the fact that I was queer. So I would do everything I could to perfect things. Like if I was going to dance at a school dance, I would practice routines to songs. So that way, when the song came on at the dance, I knew the full-blown routine and no one could judge me for, one, not being a good dancer, and two, for not being gay because I was a good guy dancer. So I would do little things like that to make sure that they couldn't judge me on it. And now as I've gotten older in life, I've learned a lot from that, but there was also a lot of wasted time and anxiety worrying about what other people would say about my talents. Because I feel like if I'm happy where I am with my talents and God's happy with him giving me my talents, that should be enough for me. And the only addition to that I should strive for is being able to share those talents with other people for the better good. So I feel called to acknowledge my talents more, still be humble about them, but to acknowledge them, because I shouldn't hide them from people, because that's just as bad as being overly cocky about them. And so again, acknowledge my talents and just remain humble as I share them with other people. And listeners out there, if you would like to write in and share what you feel your talents are, or certain talents from other people that you were really appreciative of, or you'd like to call out someone for their talent that they don't necessarily know that they have, please feel free to send them in to lovespokenqueer@gmail.com. You can also send them in on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And Renee, before we sign off for today, do you have any last words you'd like our listeners to take with them throughout the rest of the week?
The only ones I can think of is that you are fully capable of taking your talents and making them your own. I think all of us have that power within us. And I think that I would be excited to see the uniqueness and the talents that you bring to the table. And I hope that you know to embrace them and to love yourself for them.
Thank you for sharing that. And the only thing I'd like to add too is happy kickoff to Pride Month. Be able to share your authentic self outwardly, proudly, loudly, and not to be ashamed of it, because God made you exactly who you are and he loves you exactly for that. So be proud this Pride season. Try to keep pride in your heart through all the seasons. But again, happy kickoff to Pride Month. And I'm excited for the possibilities of this year. And the last thing we have to do is to thank our listeners for listening, and remember to always be true to you.
And love one another.
Until next time, bye.
Ciao.
You've just listened to another episode of Love is Spoken Queer. If you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to send us an email at our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or send us a direct message on our social channels. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you really love our episodes and our show, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the fastest way for us to share our words with everyone out there. So again, thank you for listening.